Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to talk and continue with our expectations series today. And today we have an interesting one. Normally, we do not take related players, but because our friend Caleb Wharton, a good friend of the show, did a lot of work on wide receiver devaluation, wanted it before, we're doing Jordan Stout and Justin Tucker together. So, Caleb, really appreciate you joining us again.
Yeah, thanks for having me on again, Ken. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. And Jordan Stout, an interesting case, because coming into this draft, I think a lot of people had Matt Araiza at the top of their punting boards. And, you know, they are different kickers or different punters in some significant ways. Let's maybe talk about that briefly in terms of the background here, because a lot of length of distance punting statistics certainly favored Araiza, but the more advanced punting statistics favored Jordan Stout pretty significantly.
Yeah, I was a little embarrassed by the whole Araiza Stout thing, because I was focusing on Araiza too, and I was excited when we were getting into the fourth and the fifth that they might have gone with him. And I'm a Penn State fan. I watched Stout. You know, I was aware of him and his quality as a player, but he still caught me by surprise. But, you know, I love it when the Ravens do something I don't expect. And in this case, it kind of put me down the rabbit hole of punting stats, trying to learn, okay, what didn't I understand about this situation that made the Ravens do what they did? As you said, Ken, you know, once you look at even casually at the advanced stats, it's pretty obvious why they went with Stout. But, you know, maybe some of your listeners aren't aware. I think the biggest thing is that Araiza had the hype cycle going with all of his fancy highlights, and he had, for the casual fan, these average punting yards. The issue is that he basically addressed punts like kickoffs. And part of me wonders if he was coached to do that. Maybe the special teams was really bad at the school that he was on, and they just didn't want to give the other team a chance to return at all. But regardless, that's not what he's going to be asked to do in the league. And Stout did, you know, something much closer to what I think he's going to do in the league. He went for hang time. He went for placement. He put his team in the best position to limit the return. So his net punting yards was quite a bit better.
Yeah, but, and it really shows up in a variety of metrics. And it's not just even net punting yards, while very good, doesn't really get at field position when touchbacks are considered. So on punts between the 30, 30s, which is, you know, slimming the universe down, and we could even talk about how all punts between the 30s are not equivalent, but I don't want to go too far into this. On punts between the 30s, Araiza had a 29% touchback rate, and it was only 6% for Stout. So you can already tell from that things are going to be a little bit in Stout's favor, since Cook was not a big touchback guy either. He avoided a lot of those. The in 10 percentage, I believe, was over 50%. For Stout, which is incredible. In 10, not in 20. Yeah. And the average starting field position, which is probably the most important statistic of all, you know, related to those punts, and they wouldn't exactly have mapped exactly equally, were 16. The average was the 16 for Araiza and the 12 for Stout. So a lot of that weighting comes, of course, from the number of touchbacks involved.
Yeah, I saw the stats, and you know, the funny thing is that spoke to such a level of control that I was surprised when Cook made those comments about, oh, he's a big leg, you know, and that's what you're supposed to be in college. You're supposed to be a big leg, but we're going to teach him, you know, all control and precision and all this sort of thing. I think that's Cook's perfectionism showing through. I think Stout is a remarkably polished college punter, and I don't think he's necessarily getting enough credit. But I get it. He's a coach. You're supposed to be aiming for perfection there. And I think he's going to. But I think the biggest thing isn't even that between Araiza and Stout isn't even statistical. It's the holding experience that he showed at the Senior Bowl. And he may have had some holding experience during the season as well. I think Cook is a Hall of Fame holder in the same way that Tucker is a Hall of Fame kicker. And those two things are very related. And that experience meant a great deal to the Ravens, because I honestly think the reason Cook's held on to his job for this long is his acumen as a holder.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, it's his most important job as a Raven, even more important than punting. And if Tucker suffers at all from holding issues, and will not be completely visible to us. You know, he'll do some holding, and if he fumbles the ball, well, we'll know that's not very Cook-like, or you know, Cook did not commonly do that. If he's forced into other places where he has to pull the ball away from being kicked, again, not good. But the other things where the ball is placed down and it's just not as well done as Cook would have done it, or maybe not as quick. We won't know that. It won't be easy to detect that in the normal flow of the game.
Yeah, and there's an NFL film special about holding, which is wonderful, and I strongly encourage anybody to go watch it. And one of the things that they say there that I think speaks to why the Ravens are in a good position to make this work is the role of a veteran kicker to be the coach to the punter on exactly how mm-hmm. they want the hold to happen. Right. There's elements which are up to the puncher to perfect and sort of develop their style. But in terms of that exact placement and angle and all of those fine elements, it's up to the kicker to teach the puncher how to execute those things. Tucker's been in this league long enough. I think he's in a great position to do that. And did you happen to note the practice notes where they were putting the GoPro on Stout's helmet so they could get a close-up picture of his hand technique in his holding? I thought that was really innovative.
No, and I think I see that. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I think it speaks to the emphasis the Ravens are putting on this. And not to cheat on, you know, our goals coming up, but I honestly think that's the single biggest thing that the Ravens want from him, to become a proficient holder and to do it at something approaching Cook's level.
Yeah, I agree. And if he's all the punter they expect him to be, but he fails as a holder, it will his roster spot actually probably ends up being in jeopardy. They can't have Tucker be any less than what he is, or you know, not materially less than what he is, you know, with a different holder.
Yeah, absolutely.
It would. All right. So let's see. What else? Go ahead.
So kind of, you know, just jumping in, I wanted to make one more kind of Cook and Stout comparison. And I think maybe we, you know, in our special about the wide receivers, we talked a little bit about how things are changing for young players in the sense they're picking positions earlier, they're getting positional coaching earlier. I wanted to note that I was able to dig up Cook's college career average punting yards, which was 44 mm-hmm. back in 2006 when he was drafted. And Stout's net punting yards was 44.5, actually. Isn't that mind-boggling?
That's a big difference.
Cook's distance pre-return. and I don't necessarily think that means Stout is like, you know, a vastly superior talent, but I think it speaks to the amount of training and skill that these college punters have coming out now, that they're already so proficient.
If you look at Sammy Baugh's career, I think he had years over 50 yards a punt, and it was forever ago. So the game was different, you know, when he played. But I'm going to have to look back at it to see what I have on his kicking career here. Passing, kicking, punting. Yeah, he did not have a year quite that. Yes, he did. He was 51.4 in 1940.
And that was net or average?
On 35 punts. That's his yards per punt, so it'd be the average, it'd be the gross.
Gotcha.
And then he had two consecutive seasons over 48. The next two, in 41 and 42. So a lot of it has to do with the game changing.
True. And the ball's changed at least twice since then. So that's a factor too.
Yeah, the ball would have something to do with it. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see just, you know, how sophisticated was Washington in terms of their return teams or the coverage units, I would say, back then. They might have just been ahead of the game in a lot of different ways. So that might have prevented, you know, returns from being made as opposed to fair catches, say.
But yeah, jumping into kind of the traits, kind of the specific skills that I think he needs to show up, holding is number one far and away. And, mm-hmm. and I think we've already kind of punched that home. As you said, if he doesn't do it, I don't think they're going to compromise Tucker to hold on to a fourth round pick. I think that's unlikely. I'm hoping for everyone's sake that that's unlikely. But I also kind of want to look at one of the things I found in kind of learning about a little more about punting is that punting changes the further down the field you get in terms of the objective, the technique, and when you're in the short field, it's really about that fine placement. And I think we have reason to believe that Stout is already pretty good in that area, but Cook at least seems to
shows up in all the stats. Yes.
But I definitely want to see, I want to see what we expect to see there. You know, I think we know he's a big leg. He can get distance. Where, you know, Stout as the punter, I think can really prove his mettle is when we're punting at the 25 or further and trying to pin people inside their, you know, 10, their five even.
And punting him inside, that would be a terrific expectation of him, a 70 yard punt to punt inside the five or even a 65 yard punt, but he's probably capable of it. And I'm not saying it'll never happen. It's just the kind of thing that I hope people have some managed expectations for who Jordan Stout is. He does have a seemingly pretty big leg, and he may get more of his kicks from longer down the field because of who the Ravens are on fourth down. Cross the midfield stripe, you're more likely to want to go for it on fourth down. So you're less likely to punt from the 41 if you're a Ravens punter than if you're punting for Mike Tomlin, who has a lot of what are referred to as cowardly punts in the analytics community.
Yeah, there's a great article that actually came out just this week by Football Outsiders looking at the Seahawks punter, Dixon, who I think is the best case scenario for Stout. He was an all-pro his first year, enormous leg, honestly, not as kind of a bigger leg probably, but not as fine-tuned a punter as Stout is. But, you know, they talked about how his stats last year, or rather this previous season, were depressed by the fact that the Seahawks offense wasn't very good and they were punting a lot close to the 50 just because of the nature of how Carroll likes to run his offenses. So would you like to jump into the actual expectations?
We had non-regress holding, good distance on long punts, you mentioned, and the controlled punting is very important. One of the things I want to see as a goal is that Cook is able to transfer some of his specialized punting techniques. Because regardless of what you think about Cook as a distance punter late in his career, he revolutionized punting in a lot of ways that are maybe not visible to the normal fan. I mean, he has a lot of different deliveries. If he's going for spin, he can kick it one way. If he's going for distance, he can kick it one way. He's great at directional punting and very good at doing what punters are normally told not to do or do not do at the NFL level, which is highly directional line drive punting. And it has its place depending on where you are on the field. And there's nobody better at it than Cook. It typically prevents returns or makes them be much less effective because the ball has to be gone and towards one sideline, collected off the ground and returned, or more than often it either goes out of bounds or is downed. But Cook was tremendous at that. And particularly even as he was in his 30s, he was still coming up with new methods to kick. Now, as a coach, I would be hopeful that he could transfer a lot of that to Stout in terms of his own differentiated punting mechanics and how those could be handed down to a new big leg.
Yeah, I think over the next 4 years, I agree with you. I think in 2022. I want Stout to focus on the basics. And if he wants to like try to master one fancy punt, you know, the Cook hook or whatever, mm-hmm. and he tries it in the preseason, or maybe we have a blowout or two and you know, the outcome doesn't matter, but I'll admit, I don't want him to get too fancy. You know, I want him to focus on his placement and get used to the game. I think he can be plenty good and plenty effective, just sort of sticking to the basics. Because, I mean, you have to remember how long Cook was in the league, how long he had to refine those punts. You know, let's not put too much on stout all at once, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree in terms of setting managed expectations about how these things would be layered in. I think that's very reasonable, and that's where you seem to be going with that. But I would say that we have Cook for an unknown amount of time. And as a coach, I assume we have him at least through camp and maybe through all of 2022. It would be really nice to have him through the end of the 22-23 season because, you know, having him, I don't think there's a lot of substitution. Maybe Randy Brown is good enough to look at the film of how the ball is being, you know, rotated and put in position as a holder. But we really need to get that down. It absolutely needs to be get down that. So the longer they have Cook available as a coach, the better. You know, part of me already hopes this is a multi-year deal, or at least expected to be that.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I'm optimistic because this isn't Cook's, you know, first rodeo as a coach, although certainly as an NFL coach mm-hmm. it is, and he enjoyed doing it with his kids. I don't know. I think there's a pretty good chance that he decides that this is fun and that he mm-hmm. wants to do it more than 1 year. And, you know, if his press conference going out and any Ravens fan should watch that, I was bawling through parts of it. He loves this organization mm-hmm. as much as anyone who's ever played for the Ravens. He loves this organization and wants it to be great. So I think there's a good chance we have him in the long term. You know, best not to take him for granted, but still.
Yeah, it's. I agree. I think that's exciting. The Ravens have a very good record of bringing back their own players as coaches, which just, you know, I love the fact that Anthony Levine is still in the organization, that Zach Orr is back now. You know, the fact of having Cook makes just all kinds of sense. Randy Brown may not be a face that all Ravens fans know, but he was the guy who was out on the field in 2012 holding for the practice field goal from Tucker. That was largely derided by Denver fans, that they said, you know, what are you doing on the field? You're not supposed to be there, practicing between overtime quarters, practicing for that huge kick.
Wow. Yep. Okay. I mean,
they took one practice kick and then the officials waved them off the field, but the officials basically responded after the game and said, there's nothing to say they can do that, but there's also nothing to say they can't do that.
This was the playoff game.
It was, oh yeah, this Mile High Miracle game.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Lord knows Tucker made some clutch kicks in that game. So the practice clearly, you know, did some good.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about what a good and a great season is for Stout. And I'll let you start with your description of a good season. I may add things.
Okay. So, you know, for a lot of your overviews you've done, you've tried to shy away from stats, but I decided to throw a little bit in there. You know, I really want to see for a good season, at least a 38 net punting average, which is going to make him about a top 16 player. And I think that's around where Cook was. And I think,
that puts him about the median of the league. Is that what you're saying? Or top?
So that puts him about the median. Yeah. 38.
Okay.
I think Cook's had a couple of years where he's down around there. And again, I think Stout's bigger leg is going to be an asset, especially, although I hope we're not punting too much towards the, you know, 0-25 yard mm-hmm. line. But I think league average is good. But I think the biggest thing is the holding. I think fine accuracy, to some extent, we're going to see the quality of his holding reflected in Tucker's accuracy, although there's plenty of other externalities there. My big thing is no turnovers, no outright not putting the ball down or the ball kind of leaking out in some direction and giving the opposing team an opportunity to get a hand on it or somebody having to snatch it up and run for their life. You know, none of that.
I mean, that's very reasonable. There's so many different ways that a kick can go wrong. I would just leave it at a general qualitative statement as no material regression in Tucker's ability to get his kicks off.
Yeah, I like that way of putting it, that we're not necessarily going to kind of wonder about the accuracy or what impact it does or doesn't have, but at least the kick gets up in the air. I mean, I think that's a great way to kind of address it. Do you think the Ravens would have the fortitude, let's say, to try a fake with Stout this year? I mean, he's done it in college, but that you're asking a lot of things to go right with that kind of situation.
Yeah, they have a very counterintuitive view of fakes. And one of them is basically that it's good to put a fake on tape, because most of the time when you're running a fake, particularly if it's just a simple pass to one of your wide receivers on the play, you're not giving away a lot about how you do it, but you want to put the thought in the minds of your opponent so they don't get real good at setting up returns against you. So you're, you know, they have to be concerned about how they cover the receivers and whatnot, which hopefully should give you some coverage opportunities that are different, or at least have significantly less in the way of blocked punts accrue from that. So I think they've been good over the years of that. And if you remember back to when Cook ran it in for the 28th and 29th points in a 35-7 win over the Steelers in 2011. People said, why the hell are you doing this late in the game? And, you know, Harbaugh's answer was, we want to put it on tape. We want them to know that if they overload their defense, this is what we're going to do to them. So we want people, you know, basically having the same number of people on each side of the ball. And actually now rules have changed. You have to have similar numbers on each side of the ball.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that actually. And that makes a lot of sense. I would expect now that you've said that, I would be a little surprised if we don't see it at least once in the preseason. I feel like that's the kind of thing that you would want to practice with close to live fire in that period. So kind of jumping to great, I want to see a 42 plus, and we're definitely getting to rarefied air. That's like a top 10 kind of player there. I looked at the wrong place. A 40 plus. Which is around a top 10 player for most years in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see a few outstanding short field punts. I want to see something where it gets either we get to down it inside of the 10, inside of the 5, or, you know, the returner isn't ready and gets tackled, the ball comes loose. I want to see something outstanding in the short field that impacts the game on at least one occasion during the season.
Okay, I have all qualitative ones again. So in terms of punting, I have maintains or close to maintenance of college punting field position stats, which means basically I want to see few touchbacks, lots of in-10s and lots of in-20s, and a good average starting field position that is justifies the selection effectively, since it obviously went into that. In terms of holding, I want to see no material regression in Tucker's accuracy rate. So the first one was the prospect of him getting off the kicks. This one is a much higher standard. He's got to have no material regression in terms of accuracy.
See, I had something similar to that, but I put it in exceptional. I mean, I'm just speaking that highly of Cook as a holder, but I think that's absolutely fair to kind of put that in the great category as well. And put it in context, though.
I didn't have a third category, by the way. I had a good and a great. So.
Okay. That's fair. Okay. So the other thing I would throw in there is if he does his college, you know, net punting average of 45, he's probably one of the best, if not the best punter in the league on any given year. And you usually don't only see one punter get close to 45, and a lot of years someone doesn't even get there. And he's probably a first-year All-Pro at that point. So,
He'd be a perennial Pro Bowl possibility. And it doesn't always, by the way, it doesn't always accrue to a young kicker or young punter in year one. In fact, it often does not. But that's why I don't really care about the competition with other punters as much. I want him to be effective within, you know, relative to what the Ravens want out of him. If he is, I'm confident that'll be a generally significant advantage over the league. But whether the Ravens are first or second or fourth in special teams DeFoa, I'll let that work itself out on its own. And that's where the All-Pro decisions may be made.
That's fair. But I'll say this, punting is crazy. We've seen, you know, players like Tress Way get their first all pro like 7 years into their career when they haven't even sniffed it before. We see players like Michael Dixon get it their first year in the league. You know, it's not outside the realm of possibility that it could happen. But yeah, like you, I just want them to win football games, and whatever Stout can do to kind of help in that, I'm perfectly happy with. So I did do a third category. I threw an all pro in there. I said if he gets even close to his net punting average from college, that would be incredible. I think that pretty much sums up my expectations. I think we have high expectations. We deserve to have high expectations, considering that the Ravens have taken this long to take another punter, and with the kind of expectations our special teams has. I'm excited.
Yeah, I am too. The pick, you know, Peter King's embedded coverage did a good job of explaining why they thought it was important at that time to get the pick in, and the fact that camaraderie or whatever his name is,
Camara, that's how I pronounce it.
Okay. Well, it was taken just a few picks after him by Tampa as an indication that Stout was probably in jeopardy by that pick. Now, we don't also know how much the Ravens created a rush to the podium by taking the first punter. Yeah, that's also a like hidden factor in probably increasing the chance that a punter was taken at 133 by Tampa if they had only two guys on their board, say. But it's certainly they made sacrifices at key positions, in this case, wide receiver, to take a punter. And it's a real question whether it was the right move. If he at some point has a career that's 10 years plus with the Ravens, then I think the Ravens probably clearly made the right move in terms of the fourth round. Cook was certainly one of the great sixth round picks they've ever had.
Well, and I'll throw this out too, just because you mentioned, you know, the more of the draft positional element. I think there is a good argument that this was a historical punting draft, in the sense of two punters in the fourth. You know, occasionally punters will make it into the thirds, although the last time that's happened is like almost 10 years ago. Every once in a while, they go in the fourth, but two in the fourth hasn't happened in a very, very long time. And four drafted punters in 1 year, I don't think has ever happened before. So there's a good argument this is a historic punting class. For whatever that's worth.
Yeah, if you go back at total draft capital expended on punters has been significantly higher in past, because there's been some guys taken much higher towards the top of the draft. The second round pick of Tampa Bay, who was the kicker a few years ago, comes to mind. But also, if you go back to the 70s, Ray Guy was taken. You had the Raiders' longtime kicker.
But you're saying 64 yard field goal. I'm talking punters here. I'm being specific.
You're right. No. I'm sorry. Ray Guy is punter, obviously. And he was drafted in 73. And I think he was a first or second round pick.
Wow.
And then my point is only that that it's been much higher. Russell Erksleben, I believe, was third overall, and he was a kicker slash punter. I'd have to look back at what year he was actually drafted, but name begins IRX. I don't believe. Maybe it doesn't.
I will admit I did not go beyond the year 2000 when in my analysis. So I bow to your superior knowledge beyond that point.
Okay, I haven't found it here, but I wanted to talk about it. But anyway, I think we've done enough on Jordan, so we have a good and a great year. Let's move on and talk a little bit about Justin Tucker. And obviously the most accurate kicker of all time, it's not really close anymore. What we have found is that a lot of the people who were chasing him, which were his contemporaries primarily, for a lot of reasons, are dropping off in accuracy as their careers go on. One thing I always say with regard to baseball statistics is there's a lot more 400 hitters in April than there are in September.
Yeah, well, and I think, and not to make everything about Stout, but I think we're going to have a really interesting thought experiment in terms of how much of Tucker's ability was Cook's ability, you know, And hopefully we come to the conclusion it was all Tucker, because that means Stout does a good job and you know, Tucker is able to do his thing. I mean, there's a little bit of variability from year to year with Tucker. There's so much randomness in special teams in general. But yeah, I think we've come to expect a year somewhere around 90%. I mean, he's gotten up to 96% of his field goals before. So if you kind of made me put down some goalposts, I would say good would be 90%, which is about, you know, as low as he goes. And then if you wanted to do two, I would set the top at 94, 96, thereabouts. I tried to think of some goals around kickoffs, but it was hard for me to you know, figure out concrete goals to set around the kickoff game.
That's fair enough. And the Ravens have done some pooching, some not pooching, to try and see how they can get starting field position. And that, I think, starting field position is the metric I would use. I know that he always shows up very well in DeVoe pretty much across the board in terms of the categories that they have for kicking. So I wouldn't be too concerned about that. One of them being that just because Baltimore kicks outdoors, he's been disadvantaged for a lot of his career. They haven't, you know, he hasn't had a lot of indoor kicks. And when he does, when he's gone to Detroit, you know, he's had 261 yard game, or 61 and a 66 yard game winning field goal his last two trips there. So, you know, it makes a big difference to kick indoors.
So do you think there's anything to this? I've seen people say this, but I don't know to what extent it's based in reality. But, you know, Stout has done a little bit of place kicking. He's done some extra points. His college long is 67 yards, for whatever that's worth. Although different ball, it's worth noting. Would you have Stout relieve Tucker of some of his kicking duties, the extra points, anything like that, or you'd stay the heck away from that and let Tucker do it? Tucker be great.
Yeah, I'd stay the heck away from that. I think that's been answered in interviews this week. Is Tucker's really not at all interested in giving up his kickoff duties anytime soon, which would be the kickoff duties would be the first thing that he could give up on an occasional basis. I think you're actually losing live fire holding opportunities to have Stout not holding on extra points.
Well, that's
so they're actually low leverage
for Stout at that point. It's just not worth it. I agree with you.
I think we'll see it just continue. How about you know, a guy like Tucker, who basically holds every kicking record there is that's on a rate basis, and will probably hold before he's done all the aggregate records. What do you have as a goal for him coming into a season? Because that's very difficult for players at their pinnacle to say what's a reasonable goal, even for a player like Tucker, who will be incredibly now 33 years old in November.
I mean, you talk to players, and every player I've ever seen asks doesn't pin their hopes on specific seasonal statistics, because so much of this game is randomness that's outside of their control. You know, they try to control the minutiae within each activity they do, each kick. You know, did I do the approach right? Did I swing my leg right? Did I make good contact? You know, because that's how I think that's where greatness comes from. And, you know, Cook himself, when people have interviewed him about his technique, and he talked about Super Bowl in 2012, he said, you know, in the most high pressure moments in his life, he just focuses on the fundamentals, and those rituals soothe him. So I think from Tucker's perspective, he's not making goals like that at all. I think he's focusing on sort of the ritual of each kick. But that, you know, I don't know that for certain, but based on the words I've heard from other specialists, and I think that's probably how he's going about it. What goals would you put on?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of what you just said, I certainly agree that Tucker would, if he really wanted to get in it, he'd talk about the differentiation in kicking opportunities he's had. And just as the Ravens are less likely to punt from the 40-yard line, say, they're also less likely to kick a field goal from the 20-yard line because of the increased touchdown opportunity they have on fourth down from converting. So a good example, the 4th-and-2 play against Seattle, they didn't kick a field goal. They went for it. They scored a touchdown, and they never looked back. And that was an opportunity missed by Tucker on some standpoint to have an easy opportunity. If you go through the distances, and this is where I think is interesting for Tucker, he's 83 of 83 between 20 and 29 yards. So 100%. He's 95 of 98 from 30 to 39. That's 97%. From 40 to 49. Okay, those are long field goals. That's, you know, Scott Norwood distance to fail here. He made 90% of his kicks career, 100 of 111. It's only when you get to 50 plus that you start to get a few misses. And even from 50 plus in his career, Justin Tucker has made, I want to get this right here, 48 of 66 kicks. That's almost 73% of his kicks he's made, even from 50 plus. That includes a bunch of really long ones from over 60, because they made a number of attempts from over 60 in his career that wouldn't have a very high probability of success, particularly when they're done outdoors. So it's very opportunity dependent how those kicks have been. And I think his record would hold up against anybody's at each of those individual distances. And he's had longer. And that's why you see one statistic quoted for Tucker is his longest average make and his longest average miss are both the longest in NFL history.
I like that, you know, because as you pointed out, his accuracy undersells his ability, because he will get opportunities to try longer kicks than lesser kickers will, you know, and that should hurt his accuracy percentage. And the fact that it doesn't is why he's great.
It has hurt his accuracy percentage. It has hurt his accuracy percentage. he's a 95% field goal kicker who's been reduced to 91.1% career by all these long opportunities.
Well, I think he would make that trade if you asked him. You know, I think he loves the fact he gets those long opportunities. And I don't know, are we playing in Denver this year? You know, maybe he can go for a 67 yarder, just push that record out just a little further.
Yeah, there you go. Or indoors, maybe, to get another one of similar distance. That kick at Detroit is something that I will never get tired of rewatching. Every angle of that is something special, but the one I really love in particular is the one that looks at the end zone and at the officials, and through the end zone, you can see with great HD clarity all of the Lions fans and the jerseys they're wearing and whatnot. And you've got Ravens fans there too. And the difference in emotional reaction to the kick after it's hit the bar, a lot of the Lions fans are jumping for joy because they think he missed. And then the ball goes through, and you know, they're all going into a crouch or whatever, and they can't believe it. It's so great to watch that. You could do it over and over again. You could pick out different people in the stands who it's affecting. I think it's very fun.
No, it's something about Detroit brings out the best in Tucker for sure. And I don't know. I think it almost adds to the poetry of it, that resonant tone, you know, the dong just echoing through the whole stadium when it hits. I could use with some more of that. I don't know. You know, we're a good enough team that both Stout and Tucker might not get the best opportunities. I don't think they care. I think they'd rather win football games just like every other player on the field at the end of the day.
And one of the things that Tucker's a little unusual in, as well as contemporaries are dropping off as kickers, his accuracy has actually improved over his career. So his first 4 years, I don't have his exact accuracy, but I can tell you his field goal percentages are 90.9, which is right in line with his career, 92.7, a little better, and 85.3 and 82.5 in 14 and 15, which were the trough, the nadir of his career. But then since then, 97.4, 91.9, 89.7, slight off year, 96.6, 89.7 again, and 94.6. Talking about 89.7%, which he's been twice at as an off year. That's an off year for Tucker. That ain't an off year for any other kicker.
You got to wonder, because kicking, you know, the careers can be so long. And really, there's not that much physical wear and tear. I mean, how many times do you kick in a single game, kickoffs included? A dozen at most. So I don't know. Is it a loss of flexibility, loss of muscle mass? Because I think as much as anything, kicking is about attitude and about confidence. And I think that's one of the biggest things that Tucker brings to the table. Just that innate self-belief.
Yeah, that's a fair thing. If you're talking about goals for this year, or what's a good year and what's a great year for Tucker? Where would you start?
So, like I said, I think good starts at 89 or 90. I think it's reasonable to expect that or better in any given year. I don't know. I'm not sure whether to pin, a great year to, say, a better completion percentage or longer distance. I almost feel like I should pin the completion percentage and then describe an average length of attempt. But something to the effect of 94, 96%. And I'm not really sure where to peg the distance, but longer kicks this year.
Yeah, I would say, since it is so opportunity dependent and so dependent on stout not screwing up,
yes,
whether it's thing, I just say no material reduction in accuracy relative to distance would be a great at this point. He's got a new holder. He's got himself getting a year older, and it's 32 to 33. So there have got to be physical differences. As someone who's gone through all those years and then some beyond it, I can tell you there's physical differences that occur year over year, regardless of whether you're an athlete or not. But in terms of getting a year older and having a new punter, that's a tough double. If there was ever a crossroads year for Tucker, where I would be not happy with a 82 to 85% result, I still have to admit that it's a possibility given the confluence of circumstances for this year. So what I'd say is a great year is he maintains his relative accuracy across the board, meaning relative to distance. And that may or may not, depending on the opportunities that they set him up for, result in as high a field goal percentage as his career level.
That's fair. And it'll be interesting to see if the Ravens' willingness to attempt long field goals, in long thirds and fourths, whether they go for punts or field goals in certain situations, I hope they stay aggressive, because that speaks to a confidence in the special teams team as a whole. You're right. With new pieces, particularly a new holder, I think just holding steady is a huge achievement.
All right, maybe we don't need a good year specifically for him, but actually I would take a little bit of a step back in terms of relative accuracy would be okay for me, given the circumstances, is what I'm telling you by saying great is maintaining the current level.
Okay.
So you're good. If I was to throw in reduction. Yeah. And my other good is that the Ravens are able to leverage their outstanding kick coverage units, which I hope they still have, because they lost some key players like Miles Boykin, for example, from last year. But their outstanding kick coverage units are able to be maintained, and they're able to pooch some and derive value from that strategy.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a good special teams. I mean, they've invested so heavily in the safety position, and they've got some defensive backs. I think the part that will be interesting, and you talk about it so often, is are they going to have very many specialized special teams players? I think the hope is always that they don't, that we've got defensive contributors performing well there.
One of the things is you have a natural flow towards specialized special teams players. And, Anthony Levine, he wasn't a specialized special teams player. He did play special teams, but he was a great dime back in 2018. And then they kept him around for 3 years after that, basically as he transitioned into being only a special teams captain. And still a very good special teams player, but no longer really a defensive contributor during those years. So it's to me, there's a natural flow. And Tony Jefferson could be the next guy that maybe he can play quarter this year, or maybe he can do it next year, and then maybe stays with the Ravens for four more years where he becomes less of a defensive force, less of a guy you can put on the field defensively or that you'd want to, and more of a guy you really want out there captaining your special teams because he's that good at it.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. And I think it's better to have a situation like his rather, well, I guess Levine happened late too, because you also have players that transition earlier in their careers, I feel like, and they become sort of a core special teamer year three, year four. I think it's better to have someone who has at least had starting defensive experience at some point. So, you know, even if you prefer not to do so, you've got someone you can plug in and know isn't going to completely fall on their face.
Great point, because a player like Christian Welch right now is very much at a crossroads in terms of whether he's a career special teams performer or a guy who can play some inside linebacker for you. And there are others like that. You know, Jordan Richards at one point was playing a lot in the defensive backfield at Atlanta, but when he came to the Ravens, that was never really a consideration. Justin Bethel, you know, made his transition at a certain point. And yeah, you're right. I mean, I think it happens earlier and earlier. And there are a lot of guys happy to stay in the National Football League in years five plus who, you know, basically are happy making a vet min salary to be a pure special teams player.
Yeah. I mean, as they say, a grown man paid to play a kid's game. They've spent their whole life working at this. They want to do it, even if they're not playing a prominent role. And more power to them as far as I'm concerned.
Outstanding discussion, Caleb. Really appreciate having you on for this. I'm glad we could get you on one of these expectation shows, and it's one that, you know, aligns with your interest and you know, some of the research you've done. Really, it might be worth going into a deeper show on how to analyze punters that would go more into the weeds of the advanced punting statistics and how those play out and how we could look at those. But this was a great expectation show. Really appreciate you coming on and spending the time. Tell folks where they can talk football with you.
Sure. Yeah. I'm on Twitter at Maze of the Mind. And hopefully we get some good engagement from this one. I was a little disappointed how little, I was expecting people going to be coming for me after that wide receiver episode, but I just saw a lot of nodding heads. But I don't know, you know, Ken, sometimes I feel like we give a little bit of confidence to a quiet faction on Twitter that is, you know, agrees with what the team is doing and thinks things are going to be okay, but kind of keep to themselves because there's all these people yelling that the sky is falling.
Yeah, I mean, there are that, and it doesn't have to be a large percentage of the people who say the sky is falling for that to be a very loud contingent. They feed off each other, even if they're relatively small in numbers. I always said if you put out a microphone in the village square, and you put up the question, "Is life fair?" record your response here. You know, it's not the people who think life are fair that are going to take the time to go over there and waste it on soapboxing about the fairness of life. So, you'll get a lot of people who won't. And is life fair is actually a more meaningful question in our society than should the Ravens be using more plays involving running backs or wide receivers?
You wouldn't know.
That's
it
not
based
is
on
life
Twitter.
Fair question, but yes, but you wouldn't know it. All right. Other folks out there, if you want to do a film study short, hit me up with a DM on Twitter. We're looking for topics that we can go to in 25 to 30 minutes. There are guests we have where that's just not possible. We like to tell stories. We enjoy talking to each other. Caleb's among those that it takes longer to get through pretty much any topic. I think we've been largely forgiven by the listeners for that, but I am always looking for those nice narrow topics that we can provide some shorter content to our listeners who would prefer that sort of a format. Caleb, thanks again for coming on.
Yep, and thank you for having me.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.